It's time for Brother Larry's Sinner's Sunday. Oh yeah. You tell him, Larry. Brother Larry coming at ya.
Thank you, Brother Dre, and thank you, Larry-ites. Welcome everyone to Sinner's Sunday, where the beer is cold, the ribs are hot, and all the women are pointy. If you're joining us for the first time, this is not your parents' Sunday gathering. We don't preach, pander, or pontificate. We don't call names, blame, or shame. We're just here to kick back, have a few laughs, while we ponder the spiritual realm. Sometimes it's New Testament, sometimes it's old, and sometimes it's not even that Judeo-Christian thing at all. But most of the time it is. What's that sound? Well, it's a cow, of course, but not just any cow. That's a special cow. The cow that heralds the end of the world. Just a couple weeks back, there was a calf born in Israel that was foretold by biblical prophecies. A type of calf that's not been seen in 2,000 years. The pure red heifer. And the prophecy is that the birth of this calf signals the beginning of the end, when the third temple of Israel will be built, and the Messiah will finally arrive. What's the third temple? Well, there's several opinions on that. Old school types claim it would be a return to ancient rituals like animal sacrifice. Others say it will just be a new rise of Israel. That's huge. Maybe it's Teotwaki, which was discussed in that Larry Show, Episode 7, Larry Preps. Oddly, there's a fundamental Christian sect that also believes in the red heifer prophecy and that it signals the second coming of J.C. So what we've got here is battling prophecies about the end of days. And it's not the first such occurrence, plenty of those before. People have been predicting the end of days probably since sundown on the first day. This red heifer thing really snaps into focus, something I've been wondering about for a long, long time. The Bible, New and Old Testament, is riddled with prophets and oracles and seers and astrologers and their predictions. Do you ever wonder who those people were? There are a lot of them. And it seems all had solid credibility at their time and throughout time because the Bible validates just about all of their prophecies. What did they look like? Did they wear turbans and silk shirts and brocade vests like that Zoltar guy in the glass box in every amusement park in America? How did one become a prophet? Was there a union? Was there a test, a license, a diploma? Why were the ancient prophets believed and given tremendous respect? Did they have to establish a track record of smaller predictions until they were ready for the big stuff? Were there farm leagues? Many prophets claimed their visions came to them in dreams. Were those dreams born of normal sleep, or were they fueled by drugs? Opium goes back to 1500 BC. And was pretty popular in the Middle East. Today, it seems, the only accredited prophets are guys with advanced degrees in math and science who develop computer models to predict anything from the stock market to the weather. And they are mostly wrong. Nonetheless, nobody calls them fakes or charlatans. Why? Because they use high tech to arrive at their predictions? Why are computer-modeled predictions considered legit, while tarot and I Ching or runes or astrology or tea leaves are regarded as the tools of fakes and kooks? But here's the real kicker I can't wrap my mind around at all. Let's take the Roman Catholic Church. That's the one I know best. The faith is founded on scriptures that are rife with astrology. The three wise guys, Tony, Carmine, and Nunzio, no, wrong wise guys, make that Balthazar, Caspar, and Melchior. Those guys were all astrologers and used astrology to determine the birth of Christ and to navigate to Bethlehem. They had been tracking the heavens for years and knew that according to old prophecies about a new king being born from the house of David, that it was time they saddled up and hauled ass to meet that baby. It's also figured that they didn't arrive when he was a newborn infant. They came from the east, maybe Persia, and they might not have arrived until he was 8 or 9 months old, maybe even a toddler. Astronomers also surmise that there was not one immense star with a tail pointing the way, but the Magi simply knew which ordinary one to use as a fix to guide them. And so they loaded up their animals with gifts, and away they went and found that baby. But they had no GPS or compass. All they had was an ancient astrological forecast and the skill to extrapolate the location of where he would be. So here's that kicker. Here's this massive faith, Christianity, and its foundation, and its doctrine, and its God, JC himself, were all brought to you by astrologers and seers. But the Catechism of the Catholic Church states, quote, "All forms of divination are to be rejected. Horoscopes, astrology, palm reading, interpretation of omens and lots, the phenomena of clairvoyance, and recourse to mediums contradict the honor, respect, and loving fear that we owe to God alone." Unquote. So then the three wise guys and the centuries of prophecies about the coming of JC are to be rejected? How do they square that circle? This is not a pitch for astrology or tarot or any fortune-telling apparatus. I don't believe any of it. But then again, I do believe in JC. Maybe the most famous prophet was Nostradamus. People give that guy credit for predicting everything from Hitler to the JFK assassination to 9/11. But if you read his famed quatrains, which I have, they are so vague and rambling that they could be interpreted to mean anything. They really are mumbo jumbo. Modern-day prophets or psychics are generally regarded as frauds, when forced to do what's called a cold read, where no confederates can do research on a person before the reading, they fail miserably. You can understand why people turn to horoscopes and seers and psychics. They're looking for hope. Maybe they've lost someone very close and want to be sure they've crossed over. Or their own future is terribly uncertain, and some woman flipping cards or crystal gazing, telling them it will all turn out okay, that enables them to sleep when they lie down at night. I do believe that most of us would prefer to hear a pretty lie than an ugly truth. I got a call from an old friend a while back. He wanted to know my opinion of a business venture he was considering. I had some measure of experience in his field of interest, and I advised him to take a different path. But we weren't too far into the conversation when I remembered something I figured out a long time ago. When most people ask your opinion, they don't want your opinion. They want you to validate their opinion, no matter how wrong it may be. I suppose that's much of the allure of psychics. They never really predict anything, but they always tell the customer that they are kind and generous and enjoy good music and friendship, but someone has hurt them, but they will recover. Wow, that's getting awful specific, isn't it? I recall a TV show that featured a famous British psychic, and people from the audience could walk to a podium so this psychic could tell them the most amazing things about themselves. And some guy steps into the aisle and struggles to the podium with the most pronounced limp you have ever seen. He was literally dragging one leg behind himself. And this psychic says, "I'm getting a vibration that you've had a health problem." Incredibly, nobody laughed. So what about prophecies? Do we believe them or not? Well, the Bible definitely says this world is going to end. But even if there's some kind of interpretation to be made, we do know that our world is going to end. That's a lead pipe cinch. And we don't need a red heifer cow to confirm that, do we? Thank you. But what did J.C. think of prophecies? Well, he was a prophet himself, and in a detailed passage in Luke, he outlines how things will go down when Earth gets retired, or maybe recycled. It won't be pretty. And near the start of his predictions, J.C. says, quote, "There shall be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars," unquote. That's no line from that Nostradamus clown. Nothing vague there, is it? Nothing at all. And the rest of that passage, which is in Luke chapter 21, is also crystal clear. He talks about wars and earthquakes and brothers turning against brothers. It sounds scary as hell. But that's the real JC, telling it like it is. No sugarcoating. He wasn't worried about offending anyone, was he? And as we've been doing now for the better part of the year, we're having a look at the real JC, not the one the corporate God providers sell. Their model of JC whispers and never says anything outrageous or upsetting. But the real one was quite different. He told the truth and didn't worry if it might ding his approval ratings. So the smart play is just to be ready for the stuff we know is coming. And try not to be a creep or a yutz along the way. And for God's sake, have some laughs on the ride. If you'd like to help this ministry continue, go to patreon.com/thatlarryshow. Write to me at thatlarryshow@gmail.com and come back and hang with us this Tuesday for the regular madness and enlightenment. Until that time, be kind.